It is Tuesday on B&E. Glad you're with us. Show of the people rolls on. And the people have voted. And this one says, can we all admit J-Lo makes movies and dresses, so we want to do bad things to her. That's her only asset, it says. I don't know that that's true.
No, that's
I think she
not
does
true.
Some very talented things. But she knows she's attractive and doesn't mind showing that. Same with Will Smith, too, by the way. He knows he's good looking. He's a
man,
handsome
he's got
fella.
A good looking wife, also.
Jada.
Yeah.
Word is they're a little freaky, Tuesday. Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. Hey, we have live baseball on right now. The final spot in the Sweet 16. Can we call it that in baseball, the Sweet 16? I know it's the Super Regional mm-hmm. round, but the final spot is up for grabs right now. And where is Old Dominion University? Old Dominion. I think it's in Virginia, right?
It's in Virginia.
Well, they're playing Virginia right now for the final spot. And if they, whoever wins that game today, in will play Dallas Baptist in a Super Regional. And DBU got there. The Patriots finally punched through after winning the Fort Worth. That game was a blast yesterday. They were down 5-2. It wasn't looking good because the starting pitcher for Oregon State controlled them through like seven innings. They get to the eighth inning, and they get three guys on. They go to the bullpen, and the first pitch the reliever throws is a hanging curveball that this guy just belts. I mean, he just bombed it out. A grand slam. They go up 6-5. They're going to win 8-5, and the Patriots are through, which is pretty cool, I think. So that's awesome. So good for DBU. That was the TCU regional in Fort Worth. Let me see here. Old Dominion University is in. Norfolk, Virginia.
Norfolk.
Now, I'm assuming, and someone will correct me on this, or at least advise, whoever wins this, I believe, will host it. Because Old Dominion's the 11th-ranked team in the country. So if Old Dominion wins, Dallas Baptist would go there. Virginia is unranked. I don't know how that would play out of where that would be. Someone out there that's smarter than me would let us know that. Is there any chance DBU could host, I guess, would be the question if Virginia were to win it. I think the higher-seeded team that's left gets to host. But Texas is certainly going to be hosting. They will host the Austin Super Regional this weekend. We now know that it's a Saturday to Monday best of three because for TV purposes to spread them out. They've got Friday through Sunday and then Saturday through Monday. Texas got a Saturday through Monday draw, and they're going to play Saturday night at 8, Sunday night at 8, and then if necessary on Monday at either 3 o'clock or 6 o'clock against the South Florida Bulls. We are affectionately calling it the Charlie Strong Classic.
Okay. Charles Strong.
Yeah. Well, he was the football coach here, then there. Now he's in Jacksonville with the Jaguars.
Coaching in the NFL.
Coaching in the
NFL. That's really weird. That's his first time in the NFL.
I think so.
Out of all these years.
I think it is. I think.
It's weird.
Maybe he's bounced. But I mean, he was with Urban Meyer, then at Louisville. I mean, he's climbed the coaching ladder at the college ranks.
That's right. He never had to go to the NFL.
I don't think he ever went to the NFL. No. I could be wrong. Maybe way back. But, yeah, he's now on the staff with Urban Meyer. And, and after spending a couple of years at Alabama with Steve Sarkisian and Nick Saban as an analyst with the Crimson Tide. But South Florida, as we've talked about this morning, if you're thinking, well, who are this group? They're the 4 seed out of that bracket, or out of that region. They only made the tournament, the Bulls, because they won the American Athletic Conference. If they hadn't won that tournament, the AAC, they would have not made the field of 64 at all. They won that, so they got a 4 spot. And, you know, they were not a highly considered team because they were given the 4 spot in the Gainesville Regional. So they were, you're supposed to be a sitting duck for the, you know, the homestanding Florida Gators in that spot. And they up and beat Florida last Friday, 5-3. Then they turned around and beat Miami. And so what you can say about Florida, you know, South Florida, is that they haven't been a very good team all year, pretty mediocre. But at the right time, they've gotten some guys healthy and they've gotten hot and have beaten some good teams here to win the American Athletic Conference tournament and then to, you know, go 3-1 in the Gainesville Regional. They'll be coming in with a lot of confidence for sure. Texas obviously has oozing with confidence after their weekend, just destroying the three opponents. So, and as we've said, for the Longhorns, if you're looking at the big picture bracket, if Texas can win 2 games, 2 more, they'll be in Omaha, and they'll be on the side of the bracket in Omaha that would include the winner of the Mississippi State-Notre Dame Super Regional, Dallas Baptist, and the winner of this game right now, Old Dominion in Virginia, and Tennessee-LSU. Tennessee-LSU will play in Knoxville. LSU had to go to Eugene, Oregon at the Oregon region, and they won 2 games yesterday. So LSU comes out of there, and now they'll go to Knoxville to take on the third-ranked team in the country. So those are the teams that are on the Texas side of the bracket. Other side features Vanderbilt, East Carolina, Arizona against Ole Miss, Texas Tech against Stanford and Lubbock. That'll be fun this weekend. And then Arkansas, who survived their own regional, they're going to play NC State this weekend.
Boom. Yeah. That's a tough bracket right there. That side's pretty tough right there.
Yeah, I mean, for Texas, they're on a pretty good side.
Yes, they are.
Mississippi State's good. Mississippi State, they're hosting the Starkville Regional. They'll play Notre Dame this weekend. DBU, Virginia, Old Dominion winner, Texas. I mean, I think Texas feels like they can match up with anybody in the country, including Arkansas, right? I mean, your top teams.
Well, that's what I want at the end.
Yeah, and so, very likely if Texas can get to Omaha, the highest ranked team there will be Tennessee. If Tennessee can take care of LSU and Knoxville, because right now the top five teams in the country are Arkansas, Texas, Tennessee, Vanderbilt, and I'm trying to think who's fifth, but because TCU was like sixth and they got knocked out. Oh, Arizona is fifth, but Arizona, Texas Tech, Vanderbilt, Stanford, Arkansas, those are all on the other side of the bracket. So you wouldn't meet them until the championship series. Your side would the highest ranked team would be Tennessee. If it plays out
right
with favorites winning. So that'll start this weekend, Friday through Monday. The College World Series will be decided, and the Longhorns are certainly right in the mix of it. We also have Longhorn football news, where Texas picked up a commitment yesterday from a 2022 long snapper. This is the attention to detail Steve Sarkisian's bringing, my friend. They are giving a scholarship to a long snapper from, his name is Lance St. Louis. I already like his name. He's from William Field High School in Gilbert, Arizona.
Wow.
What are we watching here?
Do you see that guy? You know who that is? That's Jonathan Banks.
That is Jonathan Banks on a Hallmark drama that you're watching over my right shoulder.
That is Jonathan Banks, a young Jonathan Banks. And that is, I don't think it's Little House on the Prairie. It's where Little House on the Prairie's, one of the kids went and became a nurse.
This is a spinoff of Little House on the Prairie?
Yes, one of them became a nurse. I don't know. It's just there. It's a Hallmark drama. Sorry about that, y'all. Yeah, it's Jonathan right there.
Oh, this says top eight city hosts the Super Regionals regardless. Okay, so that means...
No matter what.
Well, that means Dallas Baptist will be in Fort Worth against the winner of this game. If that's... Then that's big doings for... Look, Dallas Baptist has a team, and Jim Schlossnagel at TCU said over the weekend, says that that's an Omaha program. They just haven't gotten there yet, and this could be their year. Because they won the Fort Worth Regional, they'll, according to that text, and I believe that to be true, that, you know, Lupton Stadium will host the Super Regional round, the winner of this game, ODU in Virginia. Cool. Good for DBU. Awesome. So, yes.
Signing a specialist, a guy who snaps the ball. Keep your kids snapping the ball.
Well, I mean, that's
unbelievable.
Well, and we know that, you know, in Texas, you know, everybody talks about the two coordinators they hired this offseason, right? I mean, they hired Steve Sarkisian to come in and run the offense, but Pete Kwiatkowski's running the defense. But Jeff Banks is making seven figures. He's making seven figures, not just to be a recruiter, but to be the special teams coordinator. And we know, you know, how popular he was with Nick Saban at Alabama.
For sure.
Nick Saban, you know, I always go back to last year watching that national championship team and seeing the Heisman Trophy winner covering kicks. You know, on the punt coverage team, Devontae Smith. I mean, they had starters, like their best players on special teams. That gives you any indication. That's how Nick Saban rolls. You kind of wonder if that's how Jeff Banks and Steve Sarkisian are going to roll. Like, we're, you know, special teams are a unit where we can win and lose football games. We're going to use our best players. So a scholarship to a high school player to be the long snapper would give you an indication that they're serious about the special teams.
Yeah, by the way, I expect the new running back that's coming here to be a kickoff returner.
Yes.
Immediately.
Well, you already have a guy that in DeSean Jameson that's an all-conference kickoff returner as he is.
Yeah, I mean, but those are things that, well, he's going to be a full-time cornerback too, so he's a punt returner and kick. Is he not the punt returner also?
I don't believe he was last year. He's the kick returner. He returned a couple to the house.
Pick your poison. Kick to either one of those dudes.
Yeah, put them both back there.
Right.
I like that a lot. Absolutely. And that's Keelan Robinson, who's coming in from that Alabama program, and I know you watched some film of him yesterday. He big time.
He most certainly is.
I mean,
he really is. He's got. That's not potential. That is. He is what he is. He's a great. I don't know if he's a great player, but he's a very good player that just couldn't get to be in that great player role that they have at Alabama right now.
Well, and he chose to opt out last year, and you know you would argue that put him behind the depth chart that he didn't get to perform.
Sure did.
His choice, but now he's coming back, and you know Alabama just keeps on recruiting, and I think he sees more opportunity here where he can be the
And he knows it's offense.
Yeah, well, yeah. He's a walk-in player who knows the terminology, but he's exactly what Steve Sarkisian's looking for. You know what Bijan Robinson is.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned I would tell you what Joel Klatt said about Bijan Robinson. He was on a podcast, college football podcast, and Joel Klatt was asked about Texas and said he believes if they give Bijan Robinson 25 touches a game, they'll win 10 games, was what Joel Klatt said. So, you know, that's his opinion in June, but it's a high opinion of Bijan, and we know Steve Sarkisian will give guys touches if they're producing for him.
Right.
This is not the Tom Herman game of rotating players and everybody gets a trophy. It is, if you go, we talked about the two best players at Alabama last year after Jalen Waddle got hurt were Najee Harris and Devontae Smith, and those two dudes combined for over 400 touches
season. Yesterday when I said you got to be careful what you do with Bijan because there's not another – The next guy in there is Roschon Johnson, and he's not the kind of guy that can take you the distance where you're trying to get to a championship game because he's going to be banged up a little bit. Well, now after watching this kid play yesterday, go ahead and give him 25. If you need to give him 25, give him 25 carries. You got a guy who can spell him now, or if something were to happen, you have another number. You have another guy that can play in games and win for you.
Well, and he knows, and Sark knows his skill set, and he's a very good receiver.
Yes.
So, I mean, as I said yesterday, it's not illegal to put two running backs on the field at the same time.
I think he was going to be a receiver at Alabama. I think if he's about to be springtime, that's probably when he said, no,
well, I mean,
that's not happening. I'm leaving.
And Jeff Howe said this to us yesterday, and it's true after watching his film. He is a kind of an Alvin Kamara kind of player, right? You can use him, you know, at 5'9", 200, 190, but 4'3 speed, you create matchups with him. Everyone's focused on Bijan and what you're doing. And then, you know, he can stay on the field with your receiver sets, you know, two receivers and him, tight end, whatever your formation is going to be. But he's a matchup problem. He's just you see him at Alabama as you playing it as a true freshman at Alabama, you're getting carries.
Yes.
You're pretty talented. And he produced. I mean, he averaged over 6 yards a touch in the 8 or 9 games he played as a freshman at Alabama out of Washington, D.C. So it's not like he's not coming with talent. And the other side for Sark is he knows the kid. There's no character issue. He's not in the doghouse with Nick Saban. Hasn't been a problem. And we talked about some of that. You know, Georgia last week landing 2 5-star players, but, you know, both came with a little bit of baggage. The tight end and the cornerback from Clemson who got arrested this offseason. You know, those are risk players.
Right.
Doesn't feel like this one is that at all.
I don't think so.
And I saw a video of him. He likes to work out. He's got a Priest Holmes-ish type body.
He does.
I mean, he's wow. There's muscles where I didn't know we had muscles on that dude.
He was just at a different. He's just at a different level when you go to Alabama. Your first three guys are some of the best running backs in the nation, and now you have to beat them out. That's not easy to do, because once Nick gets one, he really rolls with them, and they put the ball in his hands an awful lot because they know that behind him is another one that looks like the other one that looks like another one. So when you got 3 or 4 guys like that, you have to go other places. And before it's too long, Texas will be those kind of places, this kind of place, when it comes to running back. And they should be when it comes to runners.
Absolutely. All right, we're quick note. I just got a text from Coach Dave on the tweeters, that says here that just to answer our question about Dallas Baptist, the next round, Super Regional, says, due to a quirk in the NCAA's schedule for postseason baseball this year, South Carolina's home field will host Dallas Baptist in the winter of ODU Virginia for the right to advance the College World Series. So neither team is going to have home field advantage.
There's 3 different answers.
Well, that's they're the official, because that's a story from South Carolina, a newspaper there. I don't know what that quirk is, but that is odd. And that's not conducive to good television, right? There'll be no home field advantage for anybody. I mean, if you're putting something on television that's for the go to the College World Series, you'd like to have crowd atmosphere. I mean, a bunch of South Carolina fans are not likely to go out and watch Virginia, play Dallas Baptist 3 times this coming weekend. But that's weird. That is odd. Because historically, as someone pointed out on the text line, if you beat a top 8 seed, you earn their seed. You're now a top 8, and you get to play in that stadium that you won in or in your own. I don't know. But a quirk, according to this story right here. So there we go. College baseball on the brain. College football on the brain as well. And you know what else I have on the brain, Buck? Guitar riffs.
He's nuts.
No. Those are never on my brain. Never in my brain.
I just couldn't help myself. It was out there. I had to pick it.
But Isaiah Collier, our tremendous, tremendous producer, has stumbled onto something that the good folks at what is this magazine called? This is called Guitar World Magazine, and guitarworld.com have let their readers around the world pick the nine greatest guitar riffs of all time. Nine greatest guitar riffs of all time. And A, I want to see how many you can guess. I think you'll get most of them. I think you as a music aficionado will get most of them. But these are the people who have spoken on the greatest guitar riffs of all time. So we'll get into that here coming up on the other side of the timeout. Also, Buck, among our top stories this morning, in addition to Texas baseball, the Longhorn football situation, Nick Saban getting his contract extended through 2028. He will continue to harass college football and dominate college football for another decade, it appears.
And get other guys fired.
And you know, 51 new coaches in the SEC since he's been there. More to come. More to come. That's almost 3.5 a year that get turned over in that conference. Hey, Buck, the New Jersey Nets looked, or Brooklyn Nets looked the part. Looked the part. How about them just dismantling the Milwaukee Bucks last night in the NBA playoffs? That was ridiculous.
Yeah, and the Pac-Man himself is just, that guy is ridiculous. You know, the more I look at KD, when you watch him play, as I said earlier or day before yesterday, was the fact that this guy is a guy who can, if he needs to get you 40, 45, he really, really can do that. But he is, you know, facilitating to all his teammates, all three of them playing selfless basketball. And it's been, well, since the Warriors, have you had three guys that want to give the ball up? They want to give it to open guys and score. And they've now they've got a fourth guy who's in there who's, if you leave him open, he's going to burn you also.
Well, I think when you watch them and what Steve Nash, the head coach, is doing, it is similar to what you saw in Golden State, Zay, with Steph and the Splash Brothers and the kid when KD was there. But Zay, you talked about it earlier, but Steve Nash needs to get some credit because they're, I mean, they're spreading the floor, they're letting little guys set picks and work from the middle, and it is creating a Milwaukee doesn't know what to do. And that they were up 50 points last night in this game. What are you seeing when they spread the floor so wide and they run picks with Kyrie and the guards? I mean, that's a and the big guys are spinning off the picks. I mean, that's a problem.
Yeah, when you got Joe Harris shooting guards around 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", setting picks for your 7-footer, you're going to cause matchup problems that we just never seen before. And like you said, Steve Nash has done a hell of a job this season to where people might not want to give him credit because there's so much damn talent. But at the end of the day, you got to make it operate. And he's done such a great job by understanding that, hey, I was a great pick and roll player. I know angles and I wasn't that fast. So I really know angles and know, you know, different situations on the court that I could implement to this Brooklyn Nets team. And that's what we're seeing.
Yeah. Well, and anytime you tell me the Greek Freak scores 18, I'm going to say they lost in playoff time against a team like the Nets. If he's not in the 30, it's not happening.
Well, I mean, it's the 18 is, I mean, the game was over so early. The game, it was, why even get him on the floor? I mean, it was a complete knockout. I mean, they were up 50 points. It's like, and it's a mismatch because they can't stop him on the other end. And you know, sometimes it feels like that the frustration of not, because the Bucks claim to believe they're a really good defensive team. And that's why they went and got Jrue Holiday. That's why they, you know, to go with Chris Middleton and Giannis, who's a very good defensive player, and they have no answer for it. So I think it's affecting them on the other end, too, that this is, that we have to score every time. I mean, it's like the Pat Mahomes teams with the Chiefs when they're fully healthy. I mean, how do you get them off the field? You got to score every time you get the football.
Well, Chris Middleton is what he is in a regular season. He's fantastic in the regular season. He gets to the playoffs, and he disappears. So I don't know, Zay, you could say Giannis is going to be there. He's another one of those long contract guys, but Chris Middleton, you're getting ready to say goodbye to him, right? Because that's not working.
No. And some guys just can't play with certain guys. Like, I don't think he matches up with Giannis well on the same team because I think Chris Middleton has too much responsibility due to the lack of shooting that Giannis provides. And I'm not going to lie. You were talking about the Mavs getting another guy. I think Chris Middleton will fit way better with the Mavs because he could play off Luka, who has the ball in his hands all the time, instead of playing off Giannis, who can't shoot the three at all or mid-range. And if you don't have either or, then you're not going to win too many playoff games.
Ooh, that's the name for the Dallas
Mavericks. Yeah, how about my guy from Lehigh? Where is he going to end up? Because in Portland, I don't see that working. He's not a great number two. He does good in the regular season. When he gets to the playoffs, he's nowhere in sight. He's a good player, right? He's a good player.
Yeah, he's really good. I mean,
he's in the wrong team. It's just really weird.
CJ McCollum, yeah.
Where can he go?
Yeah, I don't know. He gets hurt all the time with his foot. He's like broken his foot at least five times since he's been in the league.
That's a done deal.
So, but he's a third guy. He's not a number two.
Okay. I do like the idea of somehow getting Chris Middleton to Dallas. I agree with you on that because that's the problem with Giannis, right? I mean, as you said yesterday, Luka doesn't have an offensive weakness at all. I mean, he can do everything with the ball on the offensive end. Giannis has plenty, and they're exposed every year in the playoffs because he doesn't shoot the ball well. I mean, Luka's unstoppable, and so Chris Middleton is a two there with potentially Porzingis, plays off of him, and he sees a lot of open shots and plays good defense.
They better do what they can with Luka now because he's one of those guys I can see physically getting worn down in about 5 or 6 years or so. He's not like Dirk. He's not going to last forever. And they better get the best players they can around him as soon as they can. They can't jack around with him.
He's 30 to me. He's only 21 years old or 22 years old.
I said 5 years from now, 5 or 6 years from now.
That's usually the prime of your career in the NBA. You get 27, those are your peak years in the NBA. But you're right. I mean, the other thing about Luka, you know, he's been playing against adults since he's 15 years old over in Europe. And yeah,
been getting banged around a little bit.
Yeah, the pounding that comes with, because he was playing professional leagues as a teenager before he got to the Dallas Mavericks. Interesting point. All right, we come back. When we do, what is the greatest rock and roll guitar riff of all time, as voted on by you, the people? Also, the other top stories of the day. We're having fun on a Tuesday, live, local, and digital streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Bucky loving him some Will Smith this morning. That's a good thing, I guess. You said you were listening to but Bucky does pregame music, so between 5 and 6, as we're getting ready for the show, you got your speaker going, and this morning it was summer tunes.
Yeah, man, I had George Benson, Reason, Masquerade. I wonder what happened to him. The guy kind of disappeared from me all of a sudden.
I will say.
He was one, too.
For Will Smith, who we had a good debate last hour about him versus J-Lo, is he the equivalent of J-Lo from the men's side? You disagreed adamantly. The song Going to Miami, that's a summer song if there ever was one.
Well, that's one of Zay's tunes. Zay says when he goes to Florida, he's got to play that song.
Got to. That's a summer tune.
Yeah.
That's a beach song.
I would agree.
I'm all over that. Okay, so we've got a lot of top stories out there. We're talking Texas baseball for sure. They're going to host South Florida in the Charlie Strong Classic this weekend. Super regional for a right to go to Omaha. The football team we kicked around. How about that? One of our great Texas A&M listeners, when we talked about a scholarship for the long snapper from Arizona, says, waste a scholarship, waste a scholarly on a long slapper. A long snapper, I'll bet Sark drafts kickers and defenses when he plays fantasy football also. Ooh,
that's a shot right there.
I'm guessing Sark doesn't play fantasy football.
No.
But, hey, they take special teams seriously. But
they do.
That's going to be that's a signal, and doesn't surprise you with Jeff Banks and what they want to do there. All right, Buck. So we found this, and Isaiah Collier did a great job of organizing it. We've got the GuitarWorld.com is where this comes. But the loyal readers of Total Guitar and Guitar World have done it.
Guitar World.
They have voted on the greatest guitar riffs of all time. The top 9 we have for you. And so we'll play them. You can try to guess them, and I'll let you know what number it is. But this is number 9 on the all-time, as voted on by the Let's see where that's at.
Sitting on a park bench.
They hit number 9 for us. Hit number 9 here from the voting. The voting is in.
Jimi Hendrix, of course. Purple Haze.
Yeah, a little Purple Haze.
Yeah, man, for sure.
You down with that?
I'm down with that.
That's an all-timer.
It is.
That's an all-timer. So 9th all-time is what they say on that one. Let's go to number 8.
I'm waiting for ZZ Top.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
That is
sure.
Great. See how short those are? You know them that quickly? Like yep. Under 3 seconds, you know that is LaGrange by ZZ Top. All-timer. Number 8. This one might be tough for us both.
Megadeth or something?
No. So that is somebody. Chad Hastings would know that one. That's Pantera. That's a song by Pantera called Walk.
Pandera?
Pandemic?
Pandora?
No, it's called Pantera. That's one of Chad's bands.
Okay.
The next couple are also from hard rock bands. This is another
one. Of course.
You're going to know this one.
Of course. See, that's me on the earrings.
That's
who is it? I, I've heard it a million times.
That's Metallica's Enter Sandman.
I'm not a big Metallica fan. Never was.
Well, you're young. You got my age, you are. If you're 48, you're a Metallica fan because they dominated the 80s. And
right.
They were unbelievable. But, yeah, that's that also is your Hall of Fame relievers song, right? When Mariano Rivera came out of the bullpen, it was time to go to sleep. So they entered the Sandman.
The Sandman. Put you to sleep, yes.
Number five on the list. You know that one.
What is he?
That's Eddie Van Halen's course, Ain't Talking About Love. I mean, you could go through, you do a whole top 10 on Eddie Van Halen.
Just him alone, yes, for sure.
So number four, I know you know this one.
Oh! Deep Purple, Smoke on the Water.
There you go.
Never forget when I went to the Allentown Fairgrounds to see Smoke on the Water, and the lead band in was Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Really?
Yes.
Well, that's, I always say, that's the when you pick up a guitar and you want to learn a riff, that's the first one they teach you.
No. The first one they teach you is, da-na-na-na-na-na, sitting on a park bench.
Jethro Tull?
Of course. Aqualung.
All right.
It's probably even
an hour to the top three.
It's not making the top ten.
I don't think it is.
No, it's not.
I don't think it is. Give me number three, Zay.
Is that Whitesnake?
No, come on. I believe it, as of last check, that is still the highest-selling rock and roll record of all time, AC/DC Back in Black. Back in Black.
Which... I was not a metalhead. That's what's crazy. I listened to, you know, I listened to Led Zeppelin. I listened to Jethro Tull, you know, but I never listened to that. I never listened to heavy metal. I just didn't.
Clearly, but that's
didn't
all right.
Do anything for me.
This was on, voted on by the magazine readers of Guitar World and Top Guitar Magazine.
About
so these are guitar players, who and people
to me,
who,
I always thought Carlos Santana was a great guitarist.
Oh gosh, he was. He's a
you know
virtuoso. Number two on our countdown. Of course,
I've heard it, but I was not extremely white at that time. I just wasn't. I'm telling you, I was.
That is the Prince of Darkness himself, right? Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah,
Crazy Train.
Never listened to Ozzy Osbourne.
That's a great
Osbourne,
one, though.
Yeah.
Going off the rails on the Crazy Train.
I didn't let my whiteness get out of control, obviously, during those times.
And number one, as voted on by the readers of those two fine magazines and publications, is one you're going to know. And this is voted by them as the greatest guitar riff of all time.
Jimmy Page.
There you
Led
go.
Zeppelin. Yes. By the way, this was not just for whites alone. This was everybody loved that song. Everybody dug that right
gosh,
there.
Gosh, yes. I mean,
yeah,
and then you drop Robert Plant's voice on top of that for the first lyric. I mean, it's, you know, that's why the metallic.
But what's
Zeppelin
missing
was,
is, da-na-na-na-na-na,
sitting on a park bench.
Little girls with bad intent. Yes.
Tomorrow in our musical segment, we're going to debate.
Sorry.
No, seriously. There's also a debate out there that we're going to get into tomorrow on a Wednesday edition of the program that will be around which decade produced the greatest run of music.
Of course, it was the 70s.
No. But it's a survey.
Night fever. Of course, it was the 70s.
It's
you
hard
kidding
to argue
me
with the 70s, but they're not. 70s isn't winning, according to the
worldwide
vote. I'm
pretty sure it's not
vote.
Going to, yeah.
But we'll have fun with that tomorrow. But
yeah, I mean, there were underrated guitarists, underrated licks out there. Serious, Eric Clapton, great guitarist. And as I said, Carlos Santana was so underrated.
Oh.
As a guy smacking around. And also George Benson. I mean, those guys could play the guitar, but they never had any. They had riffs, but you couldn't classify them as top 10. No way.
Yeah, for sure. But those are as voted as they're just the riff,
mm-hmm.
right? The immediate first 3 seconds of a song, iconic. Those nine. And by the way, if you're wondering what 10th was, because just outside it was Black Sabbath, Iron Man. Yeah.
Well, I would think that would maybe made the top 10 too.
That was 10 on the list.
Cool.
you know, I saw a picture. I was looking at the guitar. There's a picture and a video of Joe Bonamassa, another great guitar player.
Some great guitarist.
Great guitarist. Okay, so there you go. There's some fun with music. We'll
love
do that again
man.
Tomorrow. We'll do that again tomorrow because it's fun and it's summer. You know,
it's awesome.
The songs of
summertime.
Summer. And we'll be listening to the tunes out at the Mullet Open on Friday.
Yes, sir.
Kidding me?
I'm excited. I'm ready to go.
You got hauling to do today?
I got hauling to do today. I've got to go and be stimulated at Costco again.
No.
Yeah, man. Got my Costco card. I'm ready to go.
I have a feeling that's going to pass over like Marshalls and things for you.
No, because I'm wearing, Zay, you know what I'm wearing today from Marshalls, my new, was it Nautica? Nautica sneakers? That's right.
You bought Nautica sneakers?
Is that
from you know, Marshalls?
You know what? I looked at them, and I didn't think they had strings in them. And now I'm pissed because I thought they were going to be like my Skechers. But they're not. They got strings to them.
Why'd you abandon the Skechers?
Oh, I didn't abandon them. I just haven't been down near to the Skechers
outlet.
I am going there. That's
okay.
Going to happen.
Okay.
There's nothing like sliding your foot into something without having to string them up. You know what I mean?
That is the official sign of old age. That is the official sign of old age.
That's what Zay said.
When you buy, you know.
Does that really mean that?
Entirely buy shoes that don't have shoestrings, you have officially reached that old age.
Don't young people wear like Skechers that they don't have to tie up? I mean, is that just an old person deal? You just slide them in like slippers?
Well, young people typically wear like flip-flops or, you know, sandals
or
something.
Or titties. Yeah.
But, you know, you got to have some shoes with like, if all of your shoes don't have laces, I think we've hit that point.
Okay, yeah, that's right. I might as well put my black socks on. You're right.
And go to the mall
go
and
to
walk.
The mall. You got
or
that,
go
right.
to Costco today and walk around.
No. That place is too busy. You can't just stroll in Costco and think. You get hurt in there. You get hit with one of those carts when it's loaded, fully loaded, with the extra, you know, with the extra sauce and extra soda and all that stuff. You get hurt in Costco. It's dangerous. It's stimulating. Be careful when you're in Costco. You can't
head on a swivel like the Texas
yeah,
OU game.
Yeah, that's right. Your head has to be on a swivel at Costco. You could get taken out there.
I don't know if on a Tuesday it's going to be as rowdy.
No. That place is jam-packed.
I avoid any of those things on a set because one of the things with our schedule, like getting my car washed yesterday, right? I'll never do that on the weekend because it's too crowded. We have the advantage of being off in the afternoons. I can do a lot of that stuff when it's not as intense.
Well, like I said, at Costco's the other day, I was there at like 9:30, opened up at 10. I was in the parking lot reading my Austin American Statesman in a car, my paper version.
That was the weekend, right?
It was the weekend, Sunday.
I think you'll be better today. I think you might have the place to yourself, virtually.
Can be surprised. The United Nation lives on every day there.
We'll be back when we do. We'll reset those top stories. We'll tee it up for the rest of the day. Hand the baton to light the tower. It's B&E on a Tuesday.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
There it is. For the buck.
Snot is running down his nose.
Shadow and clothes.
Maybe I used to be the Aqualung of 70 in the 70s.
Maybe you should.
Yeah, man.
You can claim that.
Oh, it was great stuff right there. Great stuff.
You can certainly claim that. We will have that debate at some point tomorrow on, because there's a survey out there of which decade over the last 50 years has produced the best.
Mm-hmm.
Catalog of music. And it's being voted on kind of like the same thing with Guitar World, like
sure.
Actual you know, people who are into music. So we'll have some fun with that tomorrow and debate through it. That's always good on June 9th. Today's June 8th. And exciting. You know, we've got this baseball game going on right now. Old Dominion has put a run on the board against Virginia. The winner will play Dallas Baptist. And if you're looking for good baseball, the pitcher for Old Dominion has thrown a perfect game through five innings. No base runners. So I don't want to jinx it. We're about to get out of here, so I won't be able to mention it to
you.
But, you know, you should never mention that. But no base runners through five innings. He's coming out for the sixth. So, or I think six innings. No, five. Five. But that's where that stands. We also have NBA tonight with another doubleheader. What do we have tonight, Zay? We've got Jazz in their first matchup with the LA Clippers after the Clippers dispatched of Dallas. How do you size up that series? That's a heavyweight series for sure. Jazz is the one seed, Clippers as the four, surviving the Mavericks in seven games. That's You know, did the Clippers, with the performance of Kawhi Leonard, especially in Game 6 when he carried that team when they were on the brink of elimination, that was pretty awesome. Really down the stretch was just maybe as good as we've ever seen Kawhi. And then, again, in Game 7, they get the victory. Do you feel like the Clippers maybe found a little mojo with that? We'll find out tonight, at least the beginning of it in Game 1.
Yeah, and Rudy Gobert ain't no Kristaps Porzingis, so that lane will be a little bit more clogged up than this last series with the Clippers, that's for sure.
That is for sure, no doubt about it. And that's the, I've said since the, before we got to the NBA playoffs, that the worst nightmare at the NBA league office is a final that would include Utah and, what, the Hawks? You'll be watching the Hawks and Sixers tonight, Buck. Your Sixers need a win.
Yeah, they got to get a win tonight. Yeah, but you're not. The Nets are going to be in this thing somehow, some way.
Yeah, because the worst matchup would be like Utah-Milwaukee. But Milwaukee is not up to playoff stuff at this point.
Not yet. Not again.
And they looked bewildered last night trying to stop Kevin Durant and Joe Harris and Kyrie. They had no answer. They had no answer at all. That was embarrassing.
I don't know if anybody in basketball has an answer for Kevin Durant.
Especially if Harden gets back. And, yeah, I don't know what you do. I mean, that's arguably even a more formidable offense than the Golden State offenses. It's a good debate, but I mean, you've got three Hall of Famers. I mean, if Kyrie Irving's going to make it indeed to the Hall of Fame, Durant and Harden are no doubt on their way. And Durant and Harden are arguably, outside of Steph Curry, the two best offensive players of this generation.
When you can set things up to the point of you can. They can be selfless players. When you get three great basketball players, Hall of Fame basketball players on the same team, and they understand there's no ego involved, that's just hard to beat. If you can put your ego aside and just play the game of basketball,
which is what the Warriors
did,
right?
Out of five, yes.
The Warriors shared the ball better than anybody because they trusted their teammates and they were going to knock down shots. And boy, the floor spacing by the Nets is, they've got you spread out everywhere. Then they're running picks off of that with these unbelievably skilled offensive players. I mean, they're a handful, but yeah. Hawks, Sixers tonight. That was a fun first game. Hawks built a big lead, and then Sixers roared back and almost came out. Joel Embiid will be the big question there. He's dealing with a meniscus issue. He says he's got a tough through it.
Yes, he does.
And Trae Young.
You did that. That guy.
35 and 10.
That guy from Norman is getting it done.
Not only did he play at Oklahoma, he's from Norman, right? He grew up in like Norman, Oklahoma.
Yes, Zay doesn't like that part about him.
Well, still holding that grudge.
They can hold some grudges now.
Oh, with the best of them.
Marcus Griffin, the greatest Bowie Bulldog, turned Longhorn.
Oh, no.
Over Michael. Oh, by the way, now in that Old Dominion game, it's raining. It's now raining at the ballpark. That's just what they needed as a delay. They're still playing through it, though. Craig Way will have more on that. Light the Tower is coming. Shirts and skins through your midday. RBKD this afternoon. And, of course, 7 o'clock tonight, it's that Longhorn Blitz podcast. All things Longhorns with Jeff Howe and Rod Babers. Matt Butler, it's part of a full day of live, local, and digital content here on The Horn. Buck, enjoy your Tuesday. Get her done for the Mullet Open, man.
Get her done.
Zay, you too. Get her done. Get her done. We'll do it and get her done tomorrow morning. Zero dark early, 6 a.m. Join us. It'll be 4 hours of fun and conversation once again. If you missed any portion of this program, it's all podcast for you at hornfm.com. Have a great day.